Blog Talk Radio.
All right, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the talk show, Uplifting Communities. And we have a really good show with you guys for you guys today. I have Miss Sunny Hurley on. And Miss Sunny Hurley, she's the founder of Prince Book Club, a book that is growing throughout the United States. And she gets a lot of requests for all over the United States for authors and publication companies to feature their work. Okay, I'm hoping that we have a really good show for you guys today, and we will. And myself, John, and Miss Tamaya Gaines, we are your host for this beautiful show. All right, and but I'm gonna have Miss Tamaya just introduce herself. Go ahead, Ms. Tamaya.
Thank you, Mr. Brown. My name is Tamaya Gaines, and welcome back to Uplifting Communities Talk Show. Yes, we are excited to welcome Miss Sunny Hurley to our show today and find out all about her book clubs, their offerings, and what they have in store for the near future. So I'm excited about today's show as well.
All right. Okay, and Miss Hurley, could you please tell the audience a little bit about yourself?
Hi, my name is Sunny Hurley, and I am the founder of the Princess Book Club, based out of Sacramento, California.
Okay, well, tell us about your book club and your book club meetings and stuff. You know, tell us a little bit about that. I can see they got people calling in that's very excited about your book club, and a lot of people don't know too much about what book clubs does, you know? So explain to the audience, explain the meetings and, you know, what the book club does.
Oh, okay, well, thank you for allowing me to be on your show. And I'd be happy to tell you that I started my book club when I was 5 years old. My mother was my first member. I couldn't understand how she was able to read my book so fast when it took me all week long. It took her, you know, 5 minutes. And so I just kept it going from there since I love to put together parties. I'm a party planner by nature. I decided to marry the two. So I create events based on books. And it's been so much fun. For example, I had one publishing company contact me and ask me to feature their book about a war veteran. A gentleman served time in the Vietnam War. And I said, well, most certainly. And so we went to the Military Museum in Sassoon, California, and I had the Tuskegee Airmen brought in via limousine and poets and authors. It was an awesome party based on this particular book.
What was the name of the author?
John Brown, and his name, the book is called My Watch. And he had this watch that he kept, and that's what kept him alive while he was in the war.
Oh, wow. His name was John Brown?
Oh, I'm sorry. I have to look it up. My watch.
Because that was a coincidence, you know.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Mr. Brown, you didn't want to take credit for that one?
No, I didn't. I wasn't trying to be funny or nothing, but the reason I say that is because I'm a Vietnam veteran, too. And when she said John Brown, well, you know, like, I was wondering, you know, maybe, you know, another veteran over there that was named. I'm quite sure they had a lot of John Browns that was in the war.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I was waiting for her to mention Mentally Blind. But, okay, sounds like she may have found the author's name.
Yeah. Okay, to tell us the authors. Now, when I first talked to you, you told me that you was a reader. Okay, tell the audience a little bit about what a reader is, because a lot of people don't really know what a reader is. What is a reader?
Reading is like a culture. His name was Charles Jung. I'm sorry. The author's name is Charles Jung.
Okay.
Reading is a culture in and of itself. So we have avid readers that just, it's like, I don't know, have you ever seen the episode of Twilight Zone where the man, he came up out of the atomic bomb and everybody was gone, and so he was finally able to read, and he was so happy he could read in peace. That was like one of my favorite episodes, because when it comes to reading, it's like, it's something that's very, very important to you. It's something you just love to do. I remember being at the park one day, sitting under a tree. The weather was perfect. I had a blanket, and I was reading, and a gentleman walked up to me. He said, "You look very lonely." And I said, "Actually, I'm in utopia right now. This is something I love to do." You know, finally get a chance to read. I remember getting in trouble when I was like 5 years old because I didn't know my parents were looking for me until I heard the police scanners and the dogs. And what happened was, it was really, really hot. I grew up in L.A., Los Angeles, and it was really, really hot that day. And the only place I could find that was cool was in my closet, because I had a pretty big closet, and it was really, really cool inside of my closet. So I went in my closet, and I didn't realize how much time had elapsed. And so my family was looking for me. They couldn't find me. And thank God, my mother was an avid reader too. So she understood and sympathized instead of, you know, beating me for scaring her to death. But, yeah, I've always loved to read.
Wow. Yeah, I was the type of person that liked to read too, you know. Your suggestion on people, families, you know, your suggestion on getting the kids to read, what would you do, you know, what you suggest families do to get their kids to start reading? And the reason I'm asking you this question is because you go to different, your book club, y'all go to different schools and things of that nature and read to the people, you know, read to the kids. So what would you suggest that families do to get their kids into reading?
Well, what I do personally is a lot of interactions. So when I read to the children at the schools, I allow them to have their input and, you know, let them know the kids are people too and their opinions are important too. During the pandemic, since I wasn't able to go into the schools, the school district contacted me and asked if I could make a video reading. And then they, you know, dispersed it amongst all the elementary schools throughout the Sacramento School District. So when I did that, I was very much honored to receive the call. So I dressed up like Dr. Zeus, and I made the video, and you can find it on YouTube under the Princess Book Club. Just type that in, and I'll come up where I'm reading the book Horton Hatches an Egg by Dr. Zeus, and the children are able to interact with me, and the schools did call me and let me know that when they did play the video for the kids via Zoom, because everybody was in Zoom school in 2020, the kids still, even during watching the video, they interacted with the video itself, and so I was really happy about that, and so that's how I get them to interact. Another way is to listen to them read, you know, when they're struggling, when they're learning to read, to have the patience and take the time. And I have a teacher, Mrs. Campbell. She helped me learn to read when I was struggling in the sixth grade, and I accredit her to this day. Here we are 100 years later, and I still remember Mrs. Campbell taking the time to sit down and help me learn to sound words out and learn to read, and I credit her for, you know, me being the avid reader that I am today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so great. That is great. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and another thing, I'm gonna ask you another question, and then I'm going to let Tamaya ask you some questions, too. Now, every month, you have a y'all pick a book every month, right?
Uh-huh.
For you guys to discuss. You know, where
yes.
do you go and you find your feature vocal artists from?
Publishing companies usually contact me, or the author will contact me. This month I did three different books. Normally I do one, but since I received so many calls and requests, I went ahead and did the three. So the one we're reading now is called Can't Hurt Me by David Goggins. He was a Navy SEAL. And, my former boss suggested that I read this book. She's heavy into health and fitness, and so is he. So I said, okay, great. You know, I can use some health and fitness. But what I wasn't prepared for is how he digs deep into your soul on fixing the problem itself before you can get into jogging or doing push-ups. It takes a lot more to that. You have to have your mental capacity right. And I'm eating this book up. It is just so awesome. And he helps you to address some issues through journaling and things like that, and overcoming things and getting through things. One prior to that, Respectable. And that one is about the politics in regard to the black man's responsibility coming out of Morehouse, and how heavy it is a burden on the black man to carry the race into advancement. And I said, well, this author did a lot of research. As I read it, I said, wow, but I lived through that. I lived through the Reaganomics and things like that. So I experienced it firsthand watching what can happen to our society. So it's pretty good.
Yeah. I see you find more people, especially in the African-American communities. We find a lot of African-Americans these days are reading. They're reading more and more and more, and I really like that. But it's still not enough.
It's still not enough.
You know.
I agree.
And but they doing, you know, they it's a lot, you know, is reading. But anyway, I want to let the audience know we got quite a few people calling in and listening in to the show. I want to let them know that you're listening at Uplifting Communities Talk Show with John and Tamaya, and our special guest is Miss Sunny Harley. If you guys want to ask Miss Harley a question or you want to elaborate on something, please press 1 and I will let you in. Okay, I'm going to go ahead on and let Miss Tamaya go ahead on and ask you a few questions if she don't mind, please.
Well, thank you, Mr. Brown, for passing the mic. Miss Sunny, thank you again for coming onto our show. What you do is very admirable. I'd like to go back to your work with the elementary schools. Are you still going to the elementary schools, reading to the students?
No, actually, they just showed my video, and it just took off from there. And it's been pretty good. It's almost been better, much better reach for me to go physically to one or two schools. Now it's, you know, global.
Okay, and let's see. Tell us about your book to film adaptation event.
Oh my goodness, I have so much fun. Usually we're at the movie theater in Natomas, and I hire a video crew, a camera crew. And after the movie, we'll come into the party room. I rent the party room, and we will be able to discuss what we just saw, and we can compare it to what we've read. Most recently, we did the Emmett Till premiere, went to the Emmett Till premiere. I had featured the Emmett Till book in my book club. We were able to compare the book against the movie and how it impacted us, how we felt about it. Next up will be the Wakanda. We're going to have an all-white party in honor of Chadwick Boseman, and it's going to be November the 10th, again, at the Natomas Theater. And it'll be an all-white party, and I'm super excited about it. We have a lot of fun with that.
Hmm.
Wow, that's great. Okay, I do need to go just a little bit off script here. Really quick, did you find that the books and the movies were they close? Were the storylines closer? What was your experience with that?
Okay, so some are, like The Girl on the Train. That movie followed the book verbatim. It was totally awesome. Some of the book readers have felt that there should have been different actors or actresses. They envisioned it differently as far as the actors and actresses. But as far as the storyline, I'm telling you, it was on point. There have been some that have been so far away, it's like this wasn't even in the ballpark, you know. For example, I don't want to give away too much of the movie on Teal, but it did not coincide as far as the character himself, Teal. Now, the acting was superb in the movie. I mean, oh, my goodness. But as far as the character himself, it was entirely two different characters, the 14-year-old that was portrayed as Emmett Till himself. So sometimes it will match, and other times it won't. I haven't had a reader that disagreed with me when we say the book is better, because we love books, and it's easier to write down, you know, a building blew up versus Hollywood having to create that scene. It costs billions of dollars to, you know, make a movie, whereas, you know, to write a book, it's easier to write something down, and your imagination can go, you know, there's no limitation, you know, to each of our imaginations. So, yeah, the book is, you know, in that respect, the book will always be better.
Got it.
Yeah. Yeah, what about Oprah? Oprah Winfrey, she had a book club at one time,
mm-hmm.
you know. And are your motto, your book club, is it something like Oprah Book Club, or is it, you know, is it familiar with, you know what I'm saying? Is it something like Oprah Book Club?
Well, Oprah is a giant. So she can say, go read a book, and it becomes an overnight sensation. So the way she did her book club is she would, you know, tell the audience to read the book, and they would read the book, and then she would come on her show and discuss it. She had that platform.
Mm-hmm.
Any other book club that I know, that's not, you know, the giant that Oprah Winfrey is, any other book club is a group of women, usually. They know each other. They've been friends forever, and they meet up on each other's couches. To me, that wouldn't work for me, because I am, you know, someone that loves the social. I'm a social, and I love to be all-inclusive and include everyone. So my book club is public, so I would put my whichever book I'm featuring out to the general public, and I would target the audience according to the book. For example, when we did The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks, so since that was more in the medical field, I targeted those that are in the medical field. And surprisingly enough, a lot of people in the medical field did not know that it was a black woman. You know, parts that were used to aid in the medical field even to this day. I mean,
right.
They used her from the 1950s all the way. They're using her for the coronavirus.
And they're using it right now.
Right now. And a lot of, they were aware of the chemical in her body chemistry, but they didn't know it was hers, and they didn't know it was a black woman.
Yeah.
It went all the way through medical school, and I'm talking about doctors. They said they've heard of the Haley, but they didn't know it was from Henrietta Lacks. They said the Hey Lady. I said, Hey Lady. That stands for Henrietta Lacks. That's a black woman.
Well, I think what it is, they didn't know it was a black woman.
They did not know. We're talking about people with doctorate degrees working in the medical field right now did not know that. So can you imagine how wonderful it was to feature that book to the medical industry?
I know.
Yeah.
And you got a chance to have your book club read Henrietta Lacks. That's powerful.
When I read that book, I was so far blown out of the water. I went to the library and got a book club case. It comes with like 20 books. And I handed that book out everywhere I went. I'm telling you, I wanted everyone to read that book and to have insight on the medical field. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
I have a son who's pursuing his doctorate right now. He's going to school to be a doctor. I'm going to make sure I make him aware of that book as well. It sounds phenomenal.
Please do. Yes.
Yes. I mean, I was shocked, you know, when I started reading up about her, because I just started knowing about Henrietta Lacks maybe about 3 years ago. And someone turned me on to her. And I was reading up about this lady. I said, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
and
The movie Get Out parallels with that book. Yeah, they did use and continue to use black people as guinea pigs in the medical field. And
they still do that now.
Yeah.
Wow.
And unfortunately, you know, the medical field made billions and billions and continue to make billions of dollars off of this black woman, and her children did not reap any of the benefits from it.
I think, last I heard, now I don't know, but I think her family is reaping benefits from it now. I'm not really sure. I think I look like I have read something or either heard something about that. But anyway, oh, man. Well, you know, another thing, too, I would like for you to explain to the audience, your book club, y'all go on tours. What do you mean when you say y'all go on tours? Explain that to the audience.
Oh, it's so wonderful. What I do is I get 5 female and 5 male authors, a total of 10. And then I have them interviewed on stage by a comedian. I've been blessed to have comedians such as local comedian Tristan, and another comedian come out of Oakland, Jerry Law, and they'll interview the authors on stage. And in between interviews, I have songstress, saxophone players, trumpet players. One of the songstress is Tony Rodriguez out of Sacramento, the trumpet player. His name is Tahiri Amiri. I call him Baby Miles because I'm telling you, he is only in his early 20s, and he can blow that trumpet like nobody's business. I'm telling you, he sounds like old school, as young as he is. Blow you smooth out the water. And then in the meantime, while all of this is going on, I have a mother-daughter duel, Anna Marie is the mother, and then she has her daughter. On the left side of the stage will be Anna Marie. She'll be painting right there. And on the right side will be her daughter that's in high school, and she'll be drawing. So I have a painter and a drawer either side of the stage. And all of this is going on during. And in between the interviews, I'll have spoken word artists, me being one of them, will come up and do spoken word. Yeah.
Wow. So while they're doing the open words, they're painting.
Yes. Painting and drawing on either side of the stage, mother-daughter duel. Yes.
Wow.
And, And then when I bring these together, I ask that the authors not bring in their friends and family, because it's my job to bring them new business. I tell them that their friends and family have already purchased their book. I need to bring in people that have otherwise never heard of them. And I tell them, once I put you on stage, it is your job to sell your book to this audience of people that have never heard of you. And I'm telling you, they've sold out. Not only have they sold out their books, but any of their merchandise that they may have as well, T-shirts, coffee mugs, things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I tell them bring them marketing material and do their thing, you know.
And then you said next year, you know, this is going to be our 9th annual Tea Party for Domestic Violence Violent Awareness.
Yes,
and,
I had a publishing company call me and ask me, this is in 2015, to be a part of their pre-release party. And I said, well, what is the book? And they said it's an anthology written by several different survivors of domestic violence. And so I said, what is the name of the book? And they said, Tablespoons of Tears. And so I said, what are the name of the authors? And I took the names of the authors, and I had them engraved on a handkerchief and a little mini spoon, tablespoon, tied onto each handkerchief. And I presented it to the authors on a silver platter. And when I heard their stories, I was blown so far out of the water that I asked their permission if I could throw them a tea party. And the reason I chose a tea party is because when I was little, I was the youngest in the family. And when my brothers and sisters would go off to school, I would have abandonment issues, and I would start to cry. And my mother would pick me up and hold me as she kissed each of her kids goodbye out the front door. And because my sisters and brothers were so concerned about, you know, my tears and my being so saddened with their departure, they would hit me upside the head and say, "You big baby." and so to comfort me, my mother would, she and I would have tea and crumpets together. That was our mommy and me time. And so I took comfort in tea. You know, it was just something about that stuck with me. So when I heard the story from the authors and how devastating they were, I reached out to them. I said, I can hold a tea party for you. You know, we can have tea, you know. So it's my way of hugging the victim. And so that started in 2015. And when I contacted the different organizations to come out and speak or to send other, you know, victims, some of the victims were in hiding in safe houses and that. And so since they couldn't attend a public event, they allowed me the honor of going into the shelters and throwing them a private tea party just for those victims that are in hiding. And oh, my God, that was – I had no idea that it was going to end up being so moving. You know, it was so important to those women to be able to get all dressed up and feel feminine again after being, you know, so traumatized. They had a moment of just being ladylike and feminine and enjoying each other's company and, you know, sharing with each other. It turned out to be really, really beautiful, and I've been doing it for 8 years, and next year will be my 9th.
Wow.
Well, congratulations.
Why are you not – I see you do it in April. Okay, why not Domestic Violence Month?
Yes, this month is actually Domestic Violence Month, and a lot of attention is poured into it, and then it seems like after that it's forgotten about. It's my way of saying, I haven't raising my hand and saying, I haven't forgotten about you. I still see you, and I'm still hurting with you, and I'm still there for you. So it's my way of keeping the momentum up for the awareness.
Yeah, and that's very important. That is very important, and like you said, you know, Domestic Violence Month is in October, you know.
Yes.
And now after October, is we going to forget about these people that have been through domestic violence? You know, is we going to forget about them after October? So I see why now, you know, and that's understandable, you know, and that's good that you're doing that. That's just like Black History Month, February.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think Black History Month should be throughout the whole 12 months.
Right. Yeah, because I'm black 365 days a year.
Thank you. Thank you. What you think, Tamaya?
I'm black sometimes.
Sometimes.
She's black in February.
I'm black.
Only
when
in February?
When I'm in the hood, I'm black. No, not in February. When I'm in the hood, I'm black. If I'm filling out a job application, I might be white. You know, so it depends on the circumstances and situations.
Oh, okay.
So. She's a chameleon. My mama said I could be whatever I wanted to be, so I choose to be black when it's convenient. How about that?
That sounds like a winner, so why not? Oh, Lord.
I'm just kidding.
I know you are. You black 24 hours a day, huh?
Yes.
And you know one thing, okay, and I see that you have sponsored different books and things of that nature from different
mm-hmm.
authors. And what is the deciding factor on you sponsoring their books?
So my book club is for adults. And I always wanted to be very adamant about that because it's called the Princess Book Club. People tend to think it's for kids. So I wanted to be defining that it is absolutely not for children, and I would never have anything to do with a child's book, but you never know where God is going to take you. So I live right by the Make-A-Wish Foundation. And every day on my way to work, I would have to stop right in front of the Make-A-Wish Foundation because there's a stop sign there. And I would look at it, and I would pray for whatever reason. Now, praise God, I've never had any, you know, problems like that in my family where a child died and things like this. But for whatever reason, I just felt compelled to just pray for the parents that are suffering with their children, you know, having the cancer and that. And I always wanted to do something, but I felt that it was just too huge, that, you know, I was too small. I'm too nothing. I couldn't do anything for anyone in such a devastating situation. I couldn't imagine it. I have a daughter and a son that I just absolutely adore, and I couldn't handle anything happening to them, you know, so. Coincidentally, I was at an event where we sponsored anyone that was an entrepreneur. I was a part of a group, and that's what we did. It's sort of like Shark Tank. So they would come to us, and they would tell us what they had going on, and we would come together and decide whether or not we were going to sponsor them. So this author happened to come, and she had written a book just for children that were going to die. I mean, it was like a journal, and where the parent and the child would interact and write things in and experience one another. And it's called My Angel by her name is her last name is Megan, Angela Megan, and. It's called My Angel, My Friend. And I was so devastated. I said, that would be the perfect book to bring to the Make-A-Wish Foundation. So I sponsored the book, and I brought it to the Make-A-Wish Foundation, and they made sure that that book went out to all the little children's hospitals and the patients where the little children were going to die. And I was like, wow. And so I just said, in my destitution, God reveals his absolution, because I thought there was never going to be any way I could do anything impactful for the Make-A-Wish Foundation. And sure enough, I did.
Wow. I love that, what you just said. You know, when you get your degree from college, you know, a lot of some colleges want you to do a thesis. And a thesis, you know, you have to write your thesis in order for you to get your degree in some colleges.
Yes.
And so I had to write a thesis before I got my degree. And
right.
what I did, I wrote it up on kids that had AIDS. So I had set an appointment. You ever heard of John George in Oakland? There's a hospital in Oakland called John George, and there's an AIDS floor. And I went and I interviewed some of the kids on the floor. I'm talking about children. I'm talking about, you know, 14, 15 and younger, you know, that had AIDS and they was dying. And they had the most, talking about peace, them kids were so peaceful with them dying, you know. And I understand, you know, and I say, wow, that was just overwhelming, you know, for me. It was just an experience that, you know, that I would say that would outpace the war.
Yeah.
When you sit, you know, and I'm a combat veteran, and that was the lovable. Most I've interviewed those kids, man. They know they're dying, and I asked them, you know, how do you feel about you knowing you're dying? And they start laughing and say, well, I got to go. You know, little kids.
Wow.
They just was peace. They was peaceful with it.
Yeah. That's better than me. I'd be fighting tooth and nail.
Yeah, I'll be fighting too. Yes, indeed. Yes. Wow. This is just amazing. I'm talking about amazing. I mean amazing. Okay, and also I see that you interact with a lot of organizations throughout Sacramento and probably, you know, throughout the United States, you know, and stuff like that. What type of organizations you be, interacting with?
So, yeah, I try to, you know, what they say, network till your neck hurts.
Yeah.
You know, networking is a really important thing. I've been a part of the United Way for 22 years. Yes. And the school district, I do their ice cream social fundraisers. So at the actual school district, they'll call me and I'll set up, and then they'll let all the parents know that I'll be there for the ice cream social. I also do ice cream social fundraisers as book drive, because I funded a library in Uganda. And, so I'm a people person, so I get out there and network as much as I can so that whenever I'm featuring a book, once again, I target the audience according to the book. So I would have access to those that are interested in any particular genre that I'm going to be featuring that month.
Okay.
Right.
So when you put your information, you have a special place where you put your information so authors can get in contact with you if they want to obtain your services?
Yeah, I suppose so. I must be on somebody's mail because there hasn't been a day I've gone to my mailbox and there wasn't a book from someone somewhere. In fact, I had so many books that I had to, and I love books, so I didn't want to give them away. I don't even allow people to borrow, you know. They say, how can I borrow your book? And I'm like, no. But I said, you know, I have too many. So I had to find, like, what can I do with all these books? But I don't want to let them go at the same time. So
So I went to my different friends that own different businesses and asked their permission if I could put up a mini library in their lobbies, which they allowed me to do. So that's what I ended up doing with the books that I had an overabundance of. And it works out that people are actually able to check out those books and bring them back. Yeah. And it's wonderful.
Okay, so
I have so much fun decorating them because I decorate each little library to match that particular office. You know, so it works out beautifully.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say if an author wanted to get hold to you, how would they get hold to you? You know, could you give them? Do you have an email or a website to where as though they can go
they
to?
They get a hold of me. Trust me, every author, they get a hold of me. I'm on Facebook, and they do contact me. They call me. They email me. They touch me on Reddit or LinkedIn. I'm on all the social media platforms. And so, and my inbox is flooded.
Mm-hmm. So okay, and that's so they can just look up Prince's Book Club.
Yes.
And then all your information is there. What about donations and things like that? Let's say if somebody wanted to donate to your book club, because I'm quite sure unless you're a billionaire or a millionaire. I don't know, or multimillionaire, you know, quite sure it costs you a little change for you to do a few things, you know, to keep your book club going. Let's say if you somebody
yeah,
wanted to.
Oh, yeah, the Tea Parties alone are $10,000.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the Tea Parties alone cost $10,000. With the food and the venue and the menu, that alone is $10,000.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, you're right. I do have a Cash App, the Princess Book Club. And PayPal, the Princess Book Club, and I am a nonprofit organization.
Okay, your Princess Book Club. That's the name of your app, your Cash
yes.
App.
Yes, my
okay.
Cash App and my PayPal, and I am a certified nonprofit organization, so it is all tax deductible.
Oh, okay, and So, so if somebody wanted to donate. To your book club, you go to your Cash App, Prince's Book Club. Is just that?
Yeah.
No dollar
or
sign.
They could type in my phone number. 916-470-8951, and it'll come up in Cash App as well. And they can also use. My name, the Princess Book Club, I do have a business account at Wells Fargo. And people do go there and or go online, and they're able to make a donation there as well.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, if you wanted to leave anything with the audience, you know, any positive note or anything like that, what would that be?
Read. Reading is fundamental, you know. I love it, and a lot of people that – my biggest compliment is when people say, I don't read or I don't like to read, but once, you know, I got involved with your book club, I love it because I create a party just for a book. And so they enjoy it, and they want to be a part of the conversation, so they will have had to have read the book prior to attending the event. And that puts us all on the same page, no matter if we're, you know, black, white, or polka dot, LGBT, all genders are welcome, all nationalities. I love and embrace everybody.
Okay, that is very good. I like that. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, Tamaya, you have anything else you would like to, didn't know, you wanted to elaborate on something? Because, you know, we're about ready to close down the show.
No, I just wanted to make sure she got her information out there if anybody was interested in learning more or possibly participating, but it sounds like you guys got that covered. So, no, you guys answered all the questions that I did have. Thanks again for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, well, thank you for coming on the show. You know, I really appreciate you coming on. I had a nice time, and, oh, man, this was really great. It was very educational. I really enjoyed the show. So, you know, God bless you guys, and y'all go out there, and y'all enjoy the rest of your day and weekend. All right? With that said, I'm going to say good night.
Good night, and thank you.
Good afternoon, everybody. Have a good weekend. Bye-bye.